Grace and peace to each of you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text for today is Psalm 119. It's up on the screens. Blessed are those whose walk is blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do nothing wrong. They walk in his ways. Lord, you have laid down precepts or principles or tenets or decrees or orders that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees, Lord. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all of your commands. It is believed that King David, when he wrote that psalm, was writing that psalm to teach his son Solomon how to pray and for what to pray. King David was one of those parents. He was a strategic parent and intentional parent. And so he wanted to teach his son Solomon how to pray and ways to pray. Some of you, when you saw Psalm 119, went, oh no, Psalm 119, that's the longest one in the whole Bible. But we're only talking about the first six verses today. What you might not know as to why this psalm is so long is that it has 22 stanzas, one stanza for every letter in the Hebrew alphabet. In a sense, King David was saying, "Son Solomon, I want to teach you the A to Z's of prayer. I want to teach you how to pray, and I want you to pray completely from A to Z." And this is how we're going to begin, son. Verses 1 through 4. Son, God's ways. When we walk in, when we acknowledge, when we follow his ways, we become blessed. That when we follow the decrees, the statutes, the ordinances, the decrees, the commands of the Lord, our ways become fully alive. But then, like a good father, he is honest. And he says, son, verses 5 and 6, man, I wish my ways were more like God's ways. Man, I blow it all the time. Solomon, or King David, identifies this gap between God's ways and his ways. Yes? Our lives are rich, and there have been times in your life this week, maybe this morning, when you were aligned, you were in congruence, you were walking in the ways of the Lord, and you felt his joy, his freedom, the shalom within you. But there were other times this week where you went into a private place maybe, and you just went, oh man, I blew it again. Hope she doesn't find out. Hope my kids don't see me. There's this gap, is there not, between God's ways and our ways. And that brings us to our topic for today, money. Most of us are church people. You're looking good today, church people. Yeah. I even ironed this last night for you, to be a good church people. We know God's ways, but we struggle to live into God's way. We know that God's ways could bring us life and freedom, but we get stuck in our ways, and there's this gap and this chasm. Yes? And that's true of money. Some of you who, actually, I'm surprised that any of you are here today, because Pastor Ryan's been telling you that we're going to talk about money today. And then he said that there's going to be a guest preacher today, and I was surprised I showed up to talk about money today. Because when you hear about money, and when you hear that there's a guest preacher, but more about money, we feel guilt, shame, and judgment most of the time, don't we? Because we feel we fall far short of God's ways when it comes to money. There's this, again, there's this chasm, this gap. But what if we individually and us as a church began to trust in his ways, knowing that when we abide by his ways monetarily, our lives become more full of joy, more shalom, even financially. What if? What if we invested our treasure in his ways and that gap closes? In the year 2000, when Deb and I finished our ministry in Tucson, Arizona, the world didn't end on Y2K January 1st. And so we, at that time, could fit all of our earthly possessions in the smallest you-drive-it-yourself U-Haul trailer. And so on January 1st, our old church packed up our U-Haul trailer, and we drove to our new church just down the road in Clear Lake, where we served for 16 years. Pastor Dwight Nelson said, "Tim, come on over sometime. I want to introduce you to the staff." And so I came over. But you know what? This church is way bigger than Clear Lake, and so I came in the wrong door. I came in the door on the side of the children's wing, if you will, and here's a picture of it. But it didn't look like that back then, 18 years ago. When I walked in that hallway, there were all kinds of, some of you remember this, I think. There are all kinds, yeah, I see some heads, yeah. I wish it were like that before, probably you're thinking. I'm not getting into your church politics. But there are all kinds of people, all kinds of biblical characters in that hallway. I ended up calling it the Bethany Covenant Church Hallway Hall of Fame. Because you identified people who knew God's ways, and they sought to shrink the gap between their ways and his ways. You probably had Abraham up there, whose story was all about a God saying to him, "Abraham, I want you to go where? Go." He said, "Where? To a land I will show you." And he went. He sacrificed his way for God's way. In that hallway, I dare to believe, was a story of the boy who had some fish and some loaves, who spontaneously, on the spur of the moment, when there was a need, offered it up to Jesus. And Jesus, what did he do? He multiplied it. And at the end, he had fed 5,000. There were baskets full at the end. In that hallway, I dare to believe, was the woman who was so generous and so sacrificial and so loving that she poured out perfume on the feet of Jesus, an extravagant act. And again, she shrunk the gap between her way and his way, and her life felt something, I'm guessing, that it had never felt before. The Bethany Covenant Church Hall of Fame. So that got me thinking. I bet I have a Hedberg, my last name, a Hedberg Hall of Fame. People in my life that have demonstrated a closing of the gap between their ways and God's ways, their ways financially, and the Father's invitations financially. And that leads me to the Good News Bible. The Good News Bible. Doreen was her name, and she was my Sunday school teacher in grade 5 and 6. Doreen was not a woman of much means, but she had a passion to teach 5th and 6th grade boys in Ashtabula, Ohio, the Bible. Her way of doing it was to buy each of us a Good News Bible. Some of you are, I'll say, old like me, and remember the Good News Bible. And it was different from my parents' Bible, because while my parents' Bible was black, white, and had some red, this Bible was black and white and had what? Pictures. Pictures. Now, they weren't extravagant, but they were just little caricatures, weren't they? Little caricatures. This woman taught myself, Adam, Stephen, Kevin, John, and sometimes Tim Spring, when he would show up, how to read the Bible. How did she do this? She spent her money to help us close our life gap with the Lord's gap by teaching us to read the Bible. She invested her time. I think Pastor Ryan talked about that. Talents. I think Pastor Ryan talked about that. And her treasure to give us Good News Bibles in which we had to take off the cellophane ourselves. They were brand new. And we got into them. And she bought us colored pencils and 3x5 cards, and she gave us a reading assignment for every day of the week. We want you to read this on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and underline the cities in blue, Jesus' words in red, because again, it was just black and white with little stick figures in red. Orange is about hope, and yellow is about prophecy. Underline your Bibles, and slowly that Bible became alive as we did our homework assignments to report back to her, this wonderful teacher who invested time, talent, and treasure in these 6 Rugrat boys. Another person that, in a sense, is in the Hedberg Hall of Fame for me personally is this gentleman on the right, the father and back. Anyone know who that is? Keith Hamilton, yeah. Keith Hamilton was single at the time, and I was in college, and Keith was in seminary. And my freshman year, I was just observing this guy because he had special relationships, or he invested his time in some people at our campus. My sophomore year, he chose to invest himself in my life, and it was primarily on Sunday nights, for which I was very glad, because ARA, the campus cafeteria, did not serve food on Sunday nights. It was my custom to buy macaroni and cheese, boil it in water, to not add milk because I was too cheap, but to only add butter, which I had stolen, borrowed, taken, paid for from the cafeteria and mixed in with it. And so when Keith said, "Tim, I'll take you to the pit, Charcoal Delights," I said, "I am in." And so Sunday after Sunday, I went there to eat a chicken delight sandwich with French fries and a chocolate shake with Keith. It forever changed my life. We slowly began to meet throughout the upcoming years. And later on, he had this crazy idea. He said, "Tim, I'm going to speak at a youth retreat in California. I want you to come." And I said, "Keith, I would like to come, but I'm eating mac and cheese and stealing butter from the cafeteria to eat it, and I can't come to California." He said, "I'll pay for you to come to California." I said, "Why?" "Because I want you to share your story." I said, "I'll be very short." He said, "I don't care. I want you to come." So he flew me to California, and I spoke for 3 minutes, scared to death. But it was my exposure to doing this kind of thing. It forever changed my life. A Hedberg Hall of Fame person for me. You have them as well, I hope. People who, like Abraham, the fish and the loaves, like the woman who poured out her perfume, sought to close the gap between where they were and the Lord's were, and in doing so, they found the Lord's favor. And the same thing can be true for us financially, I believe. That when we close the gap between where we are and where He is, between His precepts, laws, decrees, commands, tenets, whatever we call them, and where we are, we can feel the shalom, the freedom, the life that our Father longs to give we, His children. Yes? So how do we do that? I'm just going to share with you two strategies that my wife, Deb, and I have used that we've identified. They're not the only strategies, but they work for us, and I just simply share them with you this morning. The first strategy that we use is that we want to be people who schedule our tomorrows. We want to be STP people, schedule tomorrow people, or schedule tomorrow persons. There are things in our lives, and this is true of your life as well, so I'm not letting you off the hook. There are things in your life, ministries, charities, organizations, that where your heart instantly aligns with theirs. Yes? Your heart might be different from mine, or is different from mine, and that is perfectly okay. We all represent God's heart. Schedule tomorrow, people say, I want to close the gap between where I am and what God invites us to do financially by thinking about those things that touch our hearts and we want to commit ourselves to financially. And so, how do we do that? Deb and I, man, we love online giving. We schedule our tomorrows. The first of every month, some money comes to Bethany Covenant Church. I think it's the sixth of every month, some money goes to New Earth Recovery. Alan and Amy Muir, we are champions for you. We want you to know consistently and constantly over the course of the year that you will get our funds. You can depend on us. We are card-carrying members. It's regular. It's ongoing. Interesting conversation. I didn't mean to have it with my wife on Friday night. I had printed out a summary of all our giving this last year and where our money was going in our scheduling tomorrow giving. And Deb looked at that, and I looked at that, and we both kind of said, you know what? Let's kind of change some things. Our heart a year ago was beating for some of these things. Let's change them now going into the next year. We want to schedule our tomorrows so ministries can depend upon our meager contributions. And it's less about us giving to them, but more about our lives, shrinking the gap between our lives and the Lord's invitation so that we can live a life that He desires us to live. and feel the freedom that comes with saying, God, I don't know if we can. We have 3 teenagers and 1 going to college next year, but we will. We're going to. Because I'm trusting you, Father, to take care of this father who wants to take care of his kids by giving, scheduling our tomorrows. We want to be STP, schedule tomorrow people. The second thing that we do, and this is something I wasn't good at before I got married, is another STP, spontaneous today people. Be a spontaneous today person. Deb came into my life, and she challenged me in all kinds of good ways to live into the life that God wanted for us and me and her. And she said, Tim, she didn't say it like this, honestly, but I'll just do it because I'm up here and it can be for pastoral effect. Tim, you're way too rigid. Your dad was a banker. He made you do 10% constantly, regularly, consistently. But my heart, Tim, is moved by things throughout the day, or moved maybe in the month. And you're way too rigid because our money's going constantly to these things, regularly to things, and can I have a little bit of money to give to these other things? And I said initially, I'll think about that, which meant what? No. But later on, well, of course. Let's talk about that. What moves your heart? What breaks your heart? And it began to be this spontaneous today kind of thing. Don't know when, don't know who, don't know how much, don't know why, but the Lord just speaks to us, her, me, and we are led to do it. Let me give you an example. She doesn't even know I did this. She will know now. Yesterday we were at Safeway. We were buying things for our Thanksgiving feast on Thursday. Don't go to Safeway on Saturdays before Thanksgiving. There were lines. And so we looked at our cart, we were checking out, and we saw the shortest line was the 20 and under item line. And so I said, yeah, 20 and under is good enough, close enough. So we went to 20 and under line. We get in line, and who comes up behind me? A woman who had one thing of hot dog buns. I begin to feel pretty guilty that our 22 or 23 items ahead of her are ahead of her, and she has one. And so I, trying to make me feel better, I began a conversation with her, and we talked. I said, you having Thanksgiving? Yeah. With my 30-year-old grandson. Oh. Where's he live? With me? Oh. How long has he been with you? Since he was 6 months old. Oh. Here Deb and I are buying 23 things for our Thanksgiving feast. She's buying what? One thing of hot dog buns. Her feast. Oh, by the way, he's special needs. Oh. My heart. See, before I met Deb, I said, tough luck. I'm very rigid. Everything's going fine. I'm going to schedule my tomorrow, people. I'm not spontaneous today. Deb changed me. And so I took out my debit card, paid for it, and I felt like God said, oh, debit, oh, you can take cash back, can't you, Hedberg? Oh, yeah, you can. So 60 is the most I could, I guess, get. I don't know. I pushed 60. And I said thank you to my, I'm gonna call her a stewardess again, cashier. cashier person. I said thank you to my cashier person, and this isn't to brag, this is just how it works for me. Worked yesterday for me. And I put a 20 on her hot dog buns and just said, phew, and we left. Why? It's not so I have a clever story for you today. I didn't even think about today when I was doing that. Why? Because something touch my heart. I desire to follow the Father's commands and shrink the gap between where I am and where he is, just like Abraham, the boy with the fish and loaves, did, the woman with the perfume did, so that I can live further into the ways of Jesus in my financial life. Schedule my tomorrows. Spontaneously respond in the day. So that maybe the challenge I have for you this morning is, which one do you tend to be? Are you more of a schedule your tomorrow people or a spontaneous today kind of person? If you don't know, ask your spouse. They'll tell you really quickly. If you don't know, look at your bank account. And if you have things written in your checkbook, you're probably scheduled by tomorrow. If you don't, you're probably spontaneous today. We know the Father's ways financially. Or we have an idea. And we know where we are. What if we could close that gap as we head into this holiday season where the Father has given us His Son, and we say, Lord, I don't know when, I don't know how, I don't know who, I don't know how much, but in this season between now and the 25th, I want to be spontaneous today. And then when you get your mail tomorrow and all those ministry things come in, we want some money, we want some money, we want some money. Rather than just throwing them into recycling, what if you would sit with them and say, and Father, what would you like me to schedule into next year out of all of these? Out of all of these, Father, what would you like me to schedule in so that they know that we are in? So that the gap between where we are and the Father's way shrinks and we experience this shalom and life that the Father longs to give we, His children, even financially. I could have come into here today and made you feel guilty, judged, and shamed. You felt that already when you saw the topic for today. I don't need to do that. I want something for you, just like the Father. And when you look at Jesus, He was spontaneous and He was scheduled. Another word might be faithful. Nothing deterred Him to walking faithfully to lay down everything for you and me. Bethany, come to church. You are on your way. You have the hall, or you had the hallway hall of fame. You have lives in here which deserve to be on that, in that hallway. You are on the way. Let me encourage each of you individually to go home and to simply ask, Lord, where can I improve? Schedule tomorrow or spontaneous today. And then have the courage to sit, listen with open hands, and invite the Father to tell you what to do. And in doing so, the gap between where you are and where He is financially shrinks. And you live into the life that the Father wants for each of you. Would you pray with me? Father, we sit in silence to already invite Your Holy Spirit to poke us and to prod us, to convict us, and to move within. To hear You say, well done, in certain areas of our life, and to invite You to tweak us and to steer us anew. God, we all need help financially, though we never would say that out loud. Maybe the first step would be for us to trust You with giving some away, scheduling it, or being spontaneous. Help us to live into this way for each of our lives' sake, so that we become fully alive, and so that this community here can become more fully alive, so that we can be light into this valley for Your kingdom's sake. Poke us and prod us, we pray, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all of God's people say, amen.